Hello, this is Susan Smith Nash, and you're listening to Thoughts on e-learning and thoughts in general. Today, I'm talking about ethical icebergs that are found in social injustice, social inequality papers. Anyway, on the surface, a paper that advocates for social justice would appear to be ethically squeaky clean, especially if the issue is an emotionally charged one, and one which seems self-evidently positive, such as clean water for everyone all the time. However, it is often extremely important to take a closer look at the assumptions that underlie the issues and the suggestions, as well as how the problem itself is being framed. The two main problem areas can be summed up in the following ways: a definition deficit, and also method madness. So first of all, definition deficit. What is the problem? Is it what it appears to be? For example, if the issue is to make sure that everyone has clean water, is the problem really the water itself, or is it the distribution system? Where is the actual shortage? What is the core problem? Where is the deficiency? Here are subsets. Appearances deceive. What seems to be a straightforward problem may actually be a composite of several problems that contribute to the actual problem. In the case of clean water, is it a shortage of water or of infrastructure? Complex issue, many moving parts. The problem that manifests itself as being simple and rather monolithic may actually be quite complex and involve a number of factors. You can't address one without the other, so it becomes really challenging. Chicken or the egg? The problem with some problems is that it's hard to know the origin of the problem. You might ask, why does it matter at all? It does when the problem really will not be solved if you do not understand what actually caused it to happen in the first place. For example, cleaning up the water will not do any good if there is still a hog farm near the tributaries to the river that flows into the reservoir where you get your drinking water. Privileging some attributes over others. As you define the problem and the world in which your problem resides, and the contributing factors, aspects, or attributes over others, are you convinced to make your case a little cleaner, shinier, nicer, more palatable? For example, if you are advocating clean water for everyone, are you focusing on the recipients of the water without considering the harm it could be causing people as you seek a solution? For example, imagine the case of providing water by desalinating produced water from oil and gas operations. Yes, the water is clean and potable, but the process also results in a highly concentrated solution of toxins removed from the water. What do you do with it? Will disposing of it result in harm to people, animals, and/or the environment? Method madness. As you analyze the problem, it is often very important to take a look at your own attitudes, beliefs, and values, as well as the cultural pressures or general zeitgeist that might be influencing and/or affecting you. Red flags that something could be amiss in your thinking and your analysis are the presence of strong emotions and the inability to see more than a single viable solution, or at least you're unwilling to address more than one option. Perspective blindness. Are you having trouble seeing anything from anyone else's perspective? If you are, chances are you are not going to see it. You may have to consciously look at outside perspectives, or if you're not able to see them, ask for another person to take a look at your suggestions and solutions and offer another point of view. Dogma driven. Rules are comforting, and it's useful to live by a code. Sometimes, however, the adherence to a certain set of rules or codes means that you're stuck in a comfort zone that will ultimately suffocate you. one giveaway that you're dogma-driven is that your solution is more of a knee-jerk reaction than a well-considered, complex response. Righteousness. You may be convinced that you're taking the ethical high road, and it's filling you with a sense of moral superiority that, while perhaps well-placed, may make you unable to consider the perspective of others. That is the least of your potential problems if you're filled with a sense of righteousness and exaggerated self-righteousness. Just think of how many atrocities have been committed by people who are convinced that they are right and everyone else is wrong. It's a dangerous downward spiral. The end justifies the means. Your cause may be so urgent and obviously important that you slip into the by any means necessary approach, which the end justifies the means. But does it? Who will be harmed by this attitude? Usually, the person who comes up with a little gem of an idea is not harmed, and neither are the behind-the-scenes major stakeholders. However, there may be all kinds of collateral damage along the way. Perhaps the collateral damage is minor. Perhaps it's necessary. Perhaps. But did you actually consider the cost of your means? Sample social justice advocacy paper flowchart. Clean water for everyone. Section 1. Gripping scene, set of statistics, current event that illustrates the issue. So it's an example would be a small town in South Texas in which some people get clean water while others have to obtain brackish water from the local reservoir. The water is slimy and smells like hog farm runoff and something else, perhaps frack fluid flowback from the Eagle Ford production nearby, or, ugh, raw sewage from the tent farm that has sprung up due to lack of housing in this boom town. Red flag! You're passionate about this, and you're angry because the people who are stuck with the bad water are, by and large, illegal immigrants who do not have a voice and who feel afraid to complain. So, how are you framing the problem? Are you leaving things out in order to orchestrate the facts and bring your reader to the conclusion that you want? But are you actually considering all aspects? Section 2. Background and details. Example: history of the situation, statistics about the water, water usage, water quality. Red flag, are you oversimplifying? Are you focusing on one aspect of the water rather than others? Are you failing to see the lack of infrastructure from well water or with well water? Section 3. Your solution. Action steps. Example: you propose shutting down all drilling and hydraulic fracturing operations and making the oil and gas operator clean up the reservoir by using desalination. You also shut down all the hog farms. You have decided to monitor the actions of all the inhabitants of the town in order to study how they use water. Red flag! You're proud that you're going to accomplish your goal in a very expedient manner. But are you overlooking something? Are you causing harm along the way, destroying jobs, attacking the wrong problem, ignoring some of the contributing factors? Are you overlooking technology, using the wrong technology, or out-of-date technologies? Are you violating rights, privacy? Section 4. Potential outcomes. Example: you're proud of your solution, so you've decided to present the positive results. Clean water, quick turnaround, cost savings, total control of potentially unruly inhabitants. Red flag! Are you so results-oriented that you're avoiding the so-called inconvenient truths? Are you so proud of the fact that you are championing the disenfranchised that you are actually disenfranchising another group? It's easy to do. So anyway, I just wanted to go through this short and brief presentation series of ideas to look at how it's possible that you could be running into unseen ethical icebergs that lurk just beneath the surface of what you think is your like nice, squeaky clean, moral high road, advocacy, social justice paper, and to essentially allow and teach yourself how to see things in more than one perspective, and also how to essentially de-bias yourself if that's exactly what's happening. So this is Susan Smith Nash, and thank you for listening. Hope to talk to you or be in contact with you again soon.